Well, our second scripture reading this morning continues with our first, John chapter 4, beginning in verse 13, the story of the woman at the well. Jesus said to the woman, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give them will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." And the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right. You are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You will worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know the Messiah is coming, who is the Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." But Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then the disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman. But no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking to her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see. Come and see a man who told me everything I have done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" Then they left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food enough to eat that you do not know." So the disciples came and said to one another, "Surely no one has brought him something to eat." Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
So in honor of the new year, we're in the middle of a sermon series we're calling Do Over, where we get to pray through what stuff we want to leave behind in 2018 as we live into 2019 and in this fresh start. So each week we're reading another story of when the Lord gave someone a fresh start, a second chance. And in today's story that Pastor David just read from John 4, we meet a woman who can really hold her own. I don't know about you, but I see this woman as kind of saucy, sarcastic with Jesus. And I just love that about her. I love that God includes these people in the Bible who are rough around the edges. These are not sanitized people. And so we can see ourselves in them, these same people. In today's story, Jesus meets this woman at a well. And first, he asks her for a drink. And she says, "You know, we're not supposed to share cups. You know, my people don't share drinking vessels with your people." So right away, she's feisty. She's assertive. When Jesus answers her, he says something kind of confusing about not actual water, but living water, and how really she should have asked him for a drink. Well, she's not buying it. She says, "You're trying to sell me something here, and you don't even have a bucket. How are you going to get me that living water? Like, I'd like to see that." And again, Jesus launches into this really hippie kind of answer. He says, "Everyone who drinks from this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water I will give them will never be thirsty. The water I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." It's like, what is this guy talking about? He sounds high. He sounds like a drug dealer trying to sell her this magic pill. It's bizarre. So I imagine at this point in the story, she's just laughing at him. You can hear this teasing tone in her voice when she says, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." It's like, "Buddy, I don't know what you think you're trying to sell, but yeah, bring it on. Yeah, why don't you show me that magic water? This ought to be good." Well, it's at this moment in the story when all of a sudden, Jesus changes the subject. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, he says to her, "Go call your husband and come back." And in that moment, all the air gets sucked out of the room. Maybe the woman had been laughing and shaking her head at him. Maybe she's still laughing now as she says, "I have no husband." But her laughter has taken on a brittle quality, and her smile doesn't quite reach her eyes. Because this hits just a little too close to home. It was all fun and games when they were bantering and she was teasing him, but now he's taking things too far. And she says, "I have no husband." Jesus says, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband.' For you have had 5 husbands. And the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." And maybe now Jesus is smiling, and she is not. Because in that moment, all her walls fall down. In that moment, the guard she put up falls down. Why does Jesus do this? They were having a good time. You know, he had already done the hard work of bringing up the subject of eternal life. He had already promised that he had living water to give, water that would make a person never thirsty again. Like all this heavy lifting in the conversation, he could have just stayed on that track and kept things going. Why did he change the subject? Why did he dive right into the most painful thing about her? He went straight for her wound. 5 husbands. It's probably not something she was proud of. Living with a man she wasn't married to, probably not something she was proud of. Within 5 minutes of meeting her, Jesus has already brought up the thing that most of all she'd really, really rather not talk about. Jesus does this because we have a Lord who wants to name our wound. Not so he can punish us, not so he can embarrass us, but so he can free us. He presses his hand right on the wound, not so he can hurt her more, but so they can get past the fake, get real with each other, stop talking around the thing and talk about the thing. Jesus sees this woman for who she is. He knows her fully, and although that can feel like poking at a wound, it's actually the only way to be healed. And of course, it's not comfortable. That's why you'll notice, if you read the story, the woman immediately changes the subject right there. It's so obvious. But we can't blame her for that. We all try to hide whatever our wounds are in the hopes that no one will see them, and God forbid, no one will press into them. That's why we have things like Facebook and Instagram, right? So we can edit out all the ugly parts of our life and show only the things that are worth bragging on. You know, we get to use filters for our photos. We show our kids when they're being cute, not when they're being demons. We certainly don't post status updates that say what's really true about us, like having a silent treatment with my husband today, 5 hours and counting, or working on a Saturday again, just trying to prove my life has meaning. We don't want people to know our wounds. We will post the video of us making our 9-month-old laugh hysterically every time we buzz our lips like a bumblebee, but we will not post the video of us yelling at our 3-year-old until he cries. There are places inside of us that we would just rather hide. There are wounds we are nursing, and the last thing we want is for Jesus to call us out on them. When he tells this woman, "Go call your husband and come back," it's like, it'd be like for the man who is dishonorably discharged from the army. It'd be like Jesus saying, well, go let your squad sergeant know where you are and then come back. It's like, why did he have to bring that up? Or for the woman who has had such a nasty fight with her daughter-in-law that she's no longer allowed to see her grandchild, it'd be like Jesus saying, well, go get your grandkid and come back. Each of us has something that isn't shiny, isn't pretty, something that we would much rather not mention. I remember when my good friend started posting pictures online of her and her new boyfriend, Wesley. This was such a special relationship for her. 25 years old, and she'd never been kissed. She'd been waiting for the right guy to really give her heart to, and Wesley was it. My friend and I didn't live near each other anymore, but I could follow their relationship on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, and I just loved Wesley's Twitter bio. It said, I love Jesus, and I love people. It was so attractive. He played guitar in their church's worship band. He loved Jesus. He was so passionate. He wanted to share the love of God with everyone they met. My friend even took professional photos with Wesley. These were not engagement photos or wedding photos. These were just regular dating photos. And she posted these high-quality pictures on her own page where they held hands in a green field and they looked at each other in awe. So I was shocked one day when my friend revealed to me that Wesley looked at porn, that he was in fact addicted to pornography. She cried and cried over the phone while I kept looking at these professional photos of them holding hands in a field and tried to wrap my mind around what was behind these picture-perfect people. If Wesley, who loved Jesus, if Wesley had asked Jesus, sir, give me this living water, then it's as though Jesus said to him, well, go get your iPhone, your external hard drive and your search history. Go get your downloaded videos and bring them back to me. When we encounter Jesus, he looks right at us. And that is not always comfortable. But it's so, so worth it. He looks right at us because he loves us. That which cannot be named cannot be healed. That's probably worth saying again. That which cannot be named cannot be healed. Jesus speaks into the silence and calls out the thing that is hurting a person the most, the thing that is most in need of his touch. Now, we can try to change the subject, like the woman in our story. She then tried to draw Jesus into an argument about whether you should worship on the mountain or in Jerusalem. I mean, we can try to divert, but Jesus still gets right to the point. He says, the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, not in hiding and pretending. The true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, not in editing out the footage of your life. Jesus says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. What has been whispered in secret will be shouted from the rooftops. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I bet that each of us has entered this worship space this morning with some wound we would rather not name. Though I guess on the other hand, if we think we don't have any wound to worry about, then we just might be the most thirsty of all. Kind of like how your bodies don't register thirst until after dehydration has begun. But I trust that every single one of us has something inside us that is a wound. Whether that thing brings shame or hurt or worry, whatever it is, it's the wound we nurse. And it's the wound Jesus wants to heal. Bring it before him. Let him name it to you. Pray to him and ask him to name what is broken in you as clearly as he named the brokenness of this woman, knowing that this isn't scary. This is liberating. Yes, it might be awkward. Yes, it'll hit close to home, but this is where true, abundant life is found, opening ourselves to Jesus and letting him reach into our lives. And if that's step one, if step one is laying ourselves before Christ and asking him to touch us in our wound, then step two is laying ourselves before others. What did the woman do at the end of the story? She left her water jar at the well and went back to the city where she said to the people, come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. Now she could have kept all this to herself. Why should she tell others about that conversation? If she tells others about her encounter with Jesus, that means she's gonna have to admit to her wound. Because they'll be like, what do you mean he told you everything you've ever done? What did he tell you? And there'd be no way to avoid airing her dirty laundry. It seems so counterintuitive, opening yourself up to those questions and admitting the thing you least want to admit. That's the only way. Whether that's around the dinner table at your monthly life group, or in a circle of chairs in a Sunday school room, whether that's with your workout partner or your AA sponsor or your accountability friend, you gotta be able to name your wound too. Whatever sore spot we brought in with us this morning, whatever is our equivalent of that gut reaction, that gut recognition when Jesus says, go call your husband and come back, I pray that God would help us be brave enough, be vulnerable enough to bring that brokenness before Jesus. But not only to bring it there, to bring that brokenness before our brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus can still name our shame and heal us and set us free. Thanks be to God. Amen. I would invite us in this moment to close our eyes and to bring ourselves before the Lord as we reflect on God's message to us this morning. We can imagine that we are coming to that well to meet with Jesus here. So in this moment, I would invite all of us to set aside our water jar or whatever it is that is distracting us. Whatever we brought in with us this morning, that we lay it down. And that we would allow our hearts to soften as we prepare to encounter Christ. We can imagine that Jesus is right before us, looking at us. He is looking at each of us with love. He sees right into us, into that broken place that we would rather hide. In the space of silence, let us name before him what needs to be healed. Let us open our hearts to him and let him reach into that place that needs to be healed. We trust that no wound, no pain is too great that Jesus can't touch it. Oh Lord, we thank you for drawing us into your presence. You are our living water. I ask you to help us be brave enough and vulnerable enough that we would never be shy about naming before you that which most needs your touch. Lord, we lay it before you now. And we ask for your help in not keeping this to ourselves. For Lord, we thank you that you have given us brothers and sisters. We ask for your courage in relying on them to help us with the healing. We pray that you would come and fill this place with your Spirit, that you would fill your lambs, Lord, that you would let well up within us your everlasting water. I pray all of these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.